It's also lovely to see all of you today, and great that we have three baptisms later on today. And looking around the room here today, it really is every nation. We have people from lots and lots of different nations. And if I tried to enumerate them all, I'm sure I'd miss somebody out. So I'm not going to try that. But there are many, many nations here today. And you are very, very welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that was exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. Because all the nations, they had come together to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Pentecost. They come together from all over the world. And it was then that the Holy Spirit fell in power on the people. Why was it that time? Well, it was 7 weeks, 50 days, 50 days after the death of Christ. But also, it was because all the nations would come together, God wanted his Holy Spirit to get out to every nation quickly. Yeah? He wanted the power of God to be felt in the nations. And of course, in this series, what we're looking at is the power of God in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? How do we get hold of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? How do we move and operate in the Holy Spirit? Okay. Now, I want to bring out just five key things about life in the Holy Spirit. Now, each one of these is actually extremely important. It's not a complete list. There are many, many other things the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. But these five things are vital. They are absolutely critical in our lives and experience. And I hope as you get hold of these five things, you will understand more about your life in the Holy Spirit, how it is that God wants you to operate in the Holy Spirit, and what God is going to do through you. So I'm going to read just a few things, first of all, from the book of Romans, and this is Romans chapter 8. And I've skipped a slide there, Lenny, but maybe you could put up that passage from Romans chapter 8. These are two things that come out through the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul writes about the Holy Spirit and how God is moving in our hearts. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies that with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And earlier on, it talks about, if you by the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Two very, very important things about the Holy Spirit. First of all, that God is passionately in love with every one of his creatures. God loves you very, very deeply. You are very, very precious to God. That is, of course, why Jesus died on the cross. God's most precious possession, his dear son, giving his life on the cross so that we would know without any shadow of doubt that we are individually and corporately very, very precious to God. And, of course, through that death and resurrection, which we'll come back to in a minute, God is bringing us into that relationship with God whereby he is Abba, Father. And the word Abba is the word daddy. That's a wonderfully close relationship. Now, I know some of us may not have had the best fathers in the world, but don't worry about that for the minute. Just know that God is bringing you into a beautiful, precious relationship whereby you know that God is your father. That you know that he passionately loves you. that when you get up each day, you can say, I'm a child of God. God, my Father, loves me. God, my Father, is passionately in love with me. He is saying, I am precious. I am important. I am beautiful in his sight. That is our inheritance. I love, not every day, but I love sometimes writing letters to God. And then imagining what God is saying back to me. And it, time and time and time again, precious child, precious child, precious child. That's who we are. We are very, very precious to God. Very, very important. Very, very special. Very, very loved. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is he brings us into the sense of knowing that I am precious to God. I'm loved by him, and he is my Father. Now, I don't know whether you've experienced this, but if you know that somebody loves you very, very much, you know that they love you very, very much, what do you want to do? I tell you what you want to do. You want to please them. We have staying with us our grandson at present, and he is very, very attached to Nana Ross sitting at the back there. Very, very attached. And we have had one or two problems with his behavior, but we're getting there because he knows he's so loved, he's changing. He's changing. And you see, if you're a child of God, and you know today that you're a child of God, and you know you're in that intimate, loving relationship with God as your Father, I tell you this, you can't stay in that relationship unless you change. Because God is in the business of changing us. And the second thing that the Holy Spirit does, and it says very clearly here, you put to death the deeds of the body. Oh, that sounds tough. That sounds hard. But no, it's very real. You see, it's the Holy Spirit. And if you're in love with God and he's in love with you, you want to change. You want to say, yes, I want to put to death all those deeds of the body, all those things that displease God. I want rid of them out of my life. I don't want them in my life. I don't want that stuff in my life any longer because it will spoil the relationship. You see, if you're a child of God today, you're saying, God, clean me up. I want to get rid of that stuff. I want to get rid of that stuff which spoils my life. I want to get rid of that stuff that gets in the way between me and God. I want no more of that stuff in my life. I want rid of it because it spoils that relationship with God my Father. Two things. A third thing, which I think is very, very important, is the key verse for a lot of what we're talking about this morning. And again, it's probably on a slide here somewhere. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, God is passionate about not just you finding his love and power. He's passionate that the whole world, every single person will know the love of God and enter into that beautiful relationship with him as Father. God is passionate about every single one of this world. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not just you and me. So God is passionate about wanting to get his message out there to the world. He wants you and me and each one of us to be a passionate declarer of the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. It's not that we have to drag ourselves up and, oh, I've got to be a witness today. No, God has put his power in you, so you shall be a witness, and your mouth will open, and you will declare Jesus. Because he is the centerpiece of the whole of human existence. You say, how do you know he's a centerpiece? Well, you can talk about Buddha and Muhammad and everybody else, but you can go and visit their graves. But when the team went to Jerusalem this week, there's no grave for Jesus because it's open. Jesus is not there. He is risen. He's alive. He's gloriously alive. And you see, because he's alive, and because he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and because he's coming again in power, he's coming again in power. He wants you to know his power now, so that your mouth opens and you declare the beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, you can only declare the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ if your life is living it out. Don't do it if your life is all a mess. Doesn't mean to say we shouldn't ever speak about Jesus when things aren't totally right. No. But speak about Jesus with a life that's passionately in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you won't get it wrong. If you're passionately in love with Jesus, when you open your mouth, what will come out will be good, will be pure, will be holy, and will bless and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for three things. First of all, Abba, Father. Secondly, putting to death the deeds of the body. It's necessary. Thirdly, speaking with power about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read a story. And this story comes from Acts chapter 3. Powerful story. It's directly after Pentecost. And here you've got two people, and they're going up to the temple to pray. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Wow! He asked for arms and he got legs. He walked, he ran, he praised God. What a wonderful miracle. One of the girls who's being baptized today, called Jess, she had a miracle in her life that helped her along the way to become a follower of Jesus. Miracles still happen. God is the God of miracles. We want more of them. Praise God. But here you see you've got two people, Peter and John, and they're going to the temple because the fourth thing, very important about the Holy Spirit, is this. If the Holy Spirit is living in you, he will lead you into a lifestyle that glorifies Jesus. You will be going up to spend time in prayer, as Peter and John did. You'll be spending time in the Word of God, as the disciples did. You'll be preaching Jesus as they did. You'll have a lifestyle that speaks out the nature of Jesus. Because Holy Spirit leads to holy lifestyle. A lifestyle where Jesus is first. A lifestyle where you say, whatever else this world is about, I want my life to speak of Jesus. I want all I say and do and am to speak of Jesus. I want my life to glorify Jesus. And to do that, your lifestyle will change. It will change so that you bring out from your life the glory and the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fourth thing. And the fifth thing is something that I'm just going to demonstrate for a moment. Now, my wife is always a bit worried about me when I'm preaching. She really is, because she thinks, I never know what my husband is going to do next. And you're dead right, you don't do it, because I'm going to do something a little bit unusual. I'm just going to put my earphones in here for a minute, okay? Here are my earphones, and I'm just going to plug them in now, and then you'll just be able to see what I'm doing. It's great. Anyone guess who I'm listening to? What? Hip-hop. No, not hip-hop. Any other ideas? No, not Freddie Mercury. No. Johann Strauss, actually. Put your image of Johann Strauss. Because I love listening. When I pray, I like listening to Strauss because it really gets me going, you know? But you know what, something about that? You couldn't hear what I was listening to, could you? You had not a clue what I was listening to. That's why you say Freddie Mercury and daft things like that. You hadn't got a clue what I was listening to. You know, that is what it's like with the Holy Spirit. You see, each one of us has the Holy Spirit living in your body. God, the Holy Spirit, has taken residence in your life. Now, when God, the Holy Spirit, has taken residence in your life, you know what happens? He sometimes gives you a little bit of a nudge. Go and speak to that person over there. Don't do that. Do that instead. That's the way to go. Go that way. And you kind of, after a while, get the sense of God, the Holy Spirit, is doing something in your life. Now, there are many ways in which that applies to our speaking out the beauty of the Lord in evangelism. And we could talk probably for all of us in different ways in which that happens. Okay. But I just want to talk about one person that I met one day, and his name was Jack, okay? And I'm going to put his photograph up there. Hopefully the photograph of Jack should appear. I'm totally out of order with these slides. Don't worry about it. We'll get there at the end of the day. But this guy is called Jack. Now, this is coming up in a picture of Jack somewhere, and his wife, Dahlia. I want to tell you the story. We used to live in Cyprus. We lived in Cyprus, my wife, myself, and our five young daughters at that time, for about 6 years, 6.5 years. And I used to go and preach the gospel and teach about Jesus in public places. And one day, it was in February, and February in Nicosia in Cyprus is still pretty cold. And it was also raining. And I was there, and I was behind a book table. I've got a few books at the back there if you find them. A book table. And on the book table I had lots of different Bibles of different nationalities. Because I reckon in any evening that I was on the street there with my book table, I could have 20 different nationalities come to talk to me. So it was a great time talking to 20 different nations. And yet I was cold. It was raining. I was cold. And I did not want to stay there. And I was going to pack up and go home because I'd had enough. We all have times like that. Don't want to carry on, Lord. Thanks very much. I've had enough. And I just felt this nudge of the Spirit. And the nudge of the Spirit was, stay an extra 10 minutes. That was one of the best decisions I ever made. Because this man, Jack, that's his wedding photograph. You know, in that culture, they don't smile. When their photograph has been taken, they don't smile. That's just their culture. Okay, get used to it. We all have big smiles. He doesn't. But anyway, he came up to my book table, and he said, would you have a Bible in my language? And he's from Bangladesh. And I had a Bible in his language. And he took it home. And I said, look, we had a bit of a chat. I said, come to my home tomorrow. Come for lunch tomorrow to my home. And so when I brought him home that lunchtime, I do as I sometimes do. I just took out of my pocket a little booklet about the Lord, knowing God personally. And I went through the booklet with him and said, do you really understand what this is about? And I explained four things. I said, you know, first of all, do you know that God deeply, deeply loves you? Yeah? Secondly, I said, do you know that your sins separate you from God? and you need to find them forgiveness for them? Yes. Do you know that Jesus Christ came to die on a cross and give his life for you, to take away your sins and wash them away? And then he rose again from the dead and he's alive today? Yes. Are you willing to give your life to Jesus? Are you willing to follow him with your life? Yes. Okay, can I pray for you? And I'll pray like this. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. I turn away from them. Thank you that you love me so much. I give my life to you to love you and follow you. Yes. Fortunately, I had working with me at that time a lovely brother from Brazil. And for the next 3 months, every day, he spent with Jack teaching him the Word of God. After that, Jack came to one of us and said, look, you know, you need to know this. I'm in Cyprus and I have a false passport. But you know, I know that's wrong and I need to go and get it changed. I have to go back to Bangladesh. Now, you know when somebody does that, that God is working. Because actually, that's a very, very costly thing to do for someone like that. Very costly. And he went back to Bangladesh. But when he went back to Bangladesh, he joined with Youth with a Mission, YWAM. And now he has a lovely ministry on the streets of Bangladesh. And what he does is he gets the very, very poorest of the poor, the poorest children he can find, and he educates them and he teaches them about Jesus. Was I glad that I'd spent that extra 10 minutes? I tell you I was. So those five things about the Holy Spirit I believe are very, very important. First of all, Abba, Father. Secondly, putting to death the deeds of the body. Get rid of the sin. Repent. Repentance means not my way, your way. The very first words out of the mouth of Jesus when he came to preach, the very first words he said were, repent and believe the good news. Those are the first things Jesus said. Repentance is vital. It is. Turning away from our way to love and follow God and go his way. That's vital in our lives. Putting to death the deeds of the body. Thirdly, being filled with the Holy Spirit so our lives are on fire with passion for Jesus and we want to tell everyone about Jesus. We try and find the best ways we can to do that. Fourthly, having a lifestyle that is changed, that is built around Jesus, whereby we love God and we get things right and we pray and we read his word, and that's right. And the fifth thing is, where were Peter and John going? Going up to the temple to pray. They were wanting to be with other believers. And in a sense, maybe I've made six now. The sixth thing is nudge, nudge, nudge. Holy Spirit is going to nudge us in the right direction. He's going to nudge us. If you're alive to God, God the Holy Spirit is going to move you in the right direction. So that's it in a sense from the Christian point of view. The Christian point of view. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in us from the Christian point of view. But some people, and maybe some people here today, you're not really alive yet. You're not really got the Holy Spirit in you yet. And you're here because God has called you here today. You're not here by accident. You're here because God has called you. God, the Holy Spirit, wants you here today. And he wants you to have dealings with God. He wants you to come alive, to come from darkness into life, to come from death into, from darkness to light, from death to life. He is calling you into his light and into his presence. Same four things that I told Jack. It's not complicated, it's not difficult. God passionately loves you. God passionately loves you. That's why Jesus died. He gave himself to hang on that cross as a demonstration of the Father heart of love that he has for you. He passionately loves you. Secondly, it's your sin and the things in your heart that stop the Holy Spirit coming and filling you. You've got to get rid of that stuff. And getting rid of it says, God, no longer my way. No longer my way. Your way, Lord. Your way in my life. That's repentance. Changing your mind. Not my way, God's way. Not my way any longer. That way will lead to death. Death. The life of God leads to life. Come alive in Christ. Thirdly, know the cross, because Jesus hung there for you. He gave his life on that cross to take away your sin. He rose from the dead on the third day. He's alive today. The grave is empty. It's true. And fourthly, have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with his lovely presence so that he will live in you and rule in you and reign in you, and your life will be to his glory. Now, I know I don't often do this, but as I'm closing just the now, I'm actually going to pray a prayer, and the prayer is specially for those who want to give their lives to Jesus, because there may be somebody today who say, I've never really done that. I've been distant from God. I'm away from God, but I do want to repent today. I want to turn around and give my life to Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit to come and fill my life. I want to put to death the deeds of the body. I want you to come and fill my life, Lord Jesus. And so I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and if you pray that prayer with me, and say, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus. And if you do that, I would quite like if you'd come and just have a word with me afterwards, quietly. I don't want to embarrass you, but I would like you to come and have a word with me quietly afterwards, because I'd like to just give you a little booklet as well yourselves. So let's just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that I am so loved by God. Thank you that I'm so precious to God. Lord, today, I turn away from all my sin and I give myself to love you and follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you hung on that cross and you gave your precious life to wash away my sins. Thank you that you rose again from the dead and you're alive today. Now, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Fill me. Fill me with your presence. That my life may give glory to you. While our heads are still bowed, keep looking down. But if you have given your life to Jesus, you're giving your life to Jesus today, just slip up your hand and say, yes, that's me. I'm coming to Jesus today. I want to follow him today with my whole life. If that's you today, just raise your hand quickly and I'll be the only one to see it. Lord, today, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your anointing. May our lives speak Jesus. Thank you for this privilege of having the baptisms today. May your blessing be on those baptized and each one of us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.